Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So I just want to encourage you this morning. One good reason why you want to get in the Word and kind of soak. I remember when I was a deputy and they had a standard evaluation form. I mean, it was standard for everyone. And you have to, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, a large body of employees and a variety of work and all that. But it was pretty simple. Each particular point, I think it was score, you get 1 to 8. Mm. 8's really good. And I think 1, you're looking for another job. Not sure. I know there's a couple that probably need 1s right now in some locals. Anyway, so the, but what was interesting was each particular unique evaluation, if you get a 1, it had an explanation of what that meant. And if you had a 2, it had an explanation of what that one meant. Mm-hmm. And you had a 3, it had an explanation of what that one meant. But it wasn't concurrent. It wasn't like, you know, you got to do everything that you had in 1 and you got to do 2 to make a 2. Right. And then if you want to do, you make a 5, then you have to be able to do everything in 1, 2, 3. They're all like unique statements. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what you got to do if you want an 8 or whatever the number was. It could have been like soccer, like 3, very low scoring game. I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, me, I'm looking and they go, wow. That's a description of how my future will look right there.
There it is.
I took that evaluation form and I put it on the visor of my my cruiser, and I was on patrol and I would just make sure I did those, you know, 4 or 5 things, which mm-hmm. I did anyway, but hey, now I know, like, hey, that's, I'm qualifying for an 8, whatever right. that was. And lo and behold, I got a 1. No message. No, I mean, it was just real simple to do. If you know what's expected of you, if you know what's expected of you, if you call yourself a believer, a Christian, you know what God expects of you, just do it with a good heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a deputy. I wanted to be in law enforcement. I liked what I was doing, except for the times I was running for my life and somebody was shooting and stuff. But other than that, and a few muster room experiences, I enjoy what I was doing. And so I wanted to do well. I wanted to do my job well. And it's very important, by the way, if you are in law enforcement, no matter how you feel, because of your authority and because of what you carry, guns, ability to lock people up and ruin their destiny if you don't do your job well, it's important for you to do your job well. And it's not, and we have to, you know, that's just part of that particular job. And if you start going for a period of time and you feel like you can't do it well and you're like you're a 2 or 3 on the evaluation, it's just time to look elsewhere for another employment, because it's just, we're putting too much trust.
No doubt.
You're entrusted with so much. And everybody, you know, they say a lot of people switch jobs. You know, they get tired of this job and they find another job. There's nothing wrong with that. And but once you start losing your desire and hope for mankind and wanting to do good towards your neighbor, and everybody is equal, deserves equal justice, and you know, you get a mindset like everybody's a dirt bag, you know, something like that. And you go through those moments because, by the way, because they only call you when bad things are happening. They don't call you, hey, just come over. We're having a family reunion. We got some chicken and dumplings and some fried chicken over here and some black-eyed peas. And we just wanted to come and let you enjoy the celebration. They just call you at the end of the family reunion when Uncle Bob and Uncle Jim are at each other's throat because they had too much punch.
That's right.
And so you can have a tendency, if you don't have a life outside of that, that all of a sudden everybody's just, you know, causing problems, but they just call you when the problem's there. Mm. Sort of like fathers. No, anyway, so, and you can, but getting back to putting that evaluation form on my visor, I knew what was expected of me. You know, one thing I believe, I'm drawing, man, I'm pulling from the depths of historical events here, so I might get this wrong, and I'm sure it's changed by now, I hope it has. But it was like, you know, help your fellow deputy out, your fellow officer. You know, help them, assist them. You know, when they're on a call, you know, back them up and help them through things and just partner with them. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just sitting in a coffee shop or running radar because you want a whole bunch of tickets, you know, to be able to bring in, you know, each one has their own gift. And that was not my gift. But
writing tickets?
No, it wasn't my gift. Well,
I don't like that gift.
I just want to say I'm sorry to everybody I had to write a ticket to.
Good.
And those one serving 10 years, you know, I'm just holding you what was written in the law. Anyway, okay. I was able to do what was there. And that's what you take scripture like John used to do. Remember, he used to put it on a cue card and it in his dash. And
that's right.
I don't know how you could see it. His seat was so close to the steering wheel.
I could see it.
Could you see it? He had to read it like this. So the Lord, it was so close. I hit my chin on my knee when I rode with him once. No, seriously, just keep the word before you and be a doer of the word.
That's right.
You just look. He said, and God says, you know, lend to the poor. Stop your car. Stop texting anyway when you're driving. Don't even look at it. Just kind of look away from it, your phone. And look outside. And
stop
the skies are
me.
Blue. And understand that that guy on the side of the street or that lady or those kids, you can stop and give them something. And that's what God says. He says, he that lends to the poor lends to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or he said, go make disciples of the nation. If you know something in God, you should be teaching what you know to someone else.
That's right.
You shouldn't be bragging about, this is what I know. Well, who else knows that because you know that? You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, God comforted me. God comforted me and comforted us through these trials and tribulations so that in turn we can comfort you with the comfort God gave us. And it's like, so many people say, I have a testimony. God just really cushioned me through this. And the next thing is, the next part of the verse is, but who did you cushion? Who did you care for? Who did you comfort? Because now you know God would comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And, I pray God would comfort them too. And it's like, no, he actually would demonstrate his comfort through us. And that's one of the expectations.
Right.
So you can take the judgment evaluation and you can put it on your visor called the Word of God. And you could say, you know, I don't want to, you know, get a promotion or a raise here. But I want to do well before God. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So what does he want me to do? And you know, one of the things he says, whatever I've given you, I want you to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus once a day, once a week, you know, I'm going to invest that thing. I'm going to invest that talent. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're a reader. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you make these widgets for yourself, but you know, once a week you make widgets that you just give away. So God's blessed you with the ability to make that. And so you're making it for yourself, but pause for a moment and make some for someone else and just give it away. I mean, God's into that. He's into us sharing that aspect of it. And in that, he says, you know, I'll bless you when you do this. I'll bless you. So I want to encourage you, if you want to pass your evaluation at the throne of God, am I missing it? Is this correct? I mean, isn't there expectations of us?
Real expectations.
Yeah. Y'all remember Pittman when he's like,
"Ooh,
let me evaluate you, God, in my life." Howard Pittman, he says.
Wrong move.
Wrong move. And so he showed up with his own evaluation of God in his life at the throne room of God. I mean, he died on an operating table, showed up with his own personal evaluation for him, with a whole list of things that he thought should happen in his life. And needless, by the way, he died on the operating table. I mean, you think that would humble you, right? But in his spirit, he just showed up before the throne room of God. And he didn't even make it into the throne. He's standing by this is his testimony.
Outside the gate, wasn't it?
No, it was actually outside a door jamb. You know what I'm saying?
How he under the threshold.
That's right.
And it's Howard Pittman. He writes about it in the book, Gospels, I believe. Placebo Gospel. Placebo Gospel, not Gospels. And he has a list in his hand.
Mm.
And he's fixing to evaluate God.
Mm.
But how many people do you really know that really do? They really, God, this is what I want you to do. And it's like, I think that the sheriff's going to evaluate you. You're not going to evaluate, the deputy's not going to evaluate the sheriff.
Right.
You know, the chief is going to evaluate you. The police officer's not going to evaluate. You know what I'm saying?
Evaluating how good God did for them.
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
You scored about an 80 on this, God. I really preferred a better job than this, but this will do. Thank you very much.
And your word says,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm holding you to your word. And the next thing you're going to hear what Pepman heard was, oh, yeah, I'm holding you to my word, too. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, when he has this list in his hand, he's going to present this list to God. You got to read about this in the book, Placebo Gospel. It will change your perspective. It will definitely deliver you from the American placebo gospel that's taught in a lot of places. And placebo is a pill that looks like a pill, but it's nothing but nothing in it.
Fake.
Hollow, empty. And he has this list in his hand, and all of a sudden, imagine every storm that you've ever heard at the very same time. And we've heard a lot lately.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that. When we're talking, Pat's always like, oh, yeah.
Another revelation.
He used to have a really good memory. Now he just kind of stares. He does so much. Now, if you make in front of him that years down the road and he's sitting there staring off into the horizon in his rocking chair, realize the man's done a lot.
That's right.
A lot. And just kind of like get him some warm milk or something. Anyway, so he'll go, oh, yeah. So here is Howard. Howard has this list in his hand. He's going to talk to God. And he's standing, imagine standing in the door jamb. The doorway, but to the side. The angel set him to the side where he couldn't see in the door to the throne of God. So he's not even in the presence of God. Then all of a sudden, lightning and thunder and roaring and just shaking and quaking. And it was God talking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he dropped his evaluation form.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Imagine that. Why wait till you get before the throne room of God to find out you're the one being evaluated, not God? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are criticizing or critiquing God because they fall into the deception of pride when you're the one and we're the ones that are actually going to be evaluated before God? But he's given us the evaluation now. It's the word of God, and we can get into the word now, put it in the visors, the visual aspects of our life, and abide with him and just begin to do the word and find out, you know, we could do well on this exam. It's an open book test.
Hello.
82% of you. It's an open book test. It's open book. I'll never forget when I was in school back in 18 and 12. And I thought, oh, here comes a test. And they say it was an open book test. It's like this big sigh across the room, you know, not sigh. Let's just move on. But a big awe across the room. Like, oh, open book test. An open book test. And this is an open book exam. But you got to look intently in the word and study what's expected of you. And then you got to do what it says. So you're blessed in all you do. And when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to say, well done. Well done, which means you
did something.
Well, as they say down south, you done did something.
That's
you
right.
Done did something.
Right.
No, not well, whatever, you know, is well done. And what happened was all of a sudden every storm kind of met at the same time. It was just the voice of God, and you could just feel the judgment of God. And it was just so hard. He dropped his little, you know, evaluation form. I think he was going to give God a 2 or something. And because he just had more things he felt he needed to progress in his job as God. You know what I'm saying? He needed to allow him to be sheriff in Louisiana somewhere. He needed to stay longer as a pastorette and a pastorette. And in the context of that, he dropped that. And now he was just grabbing for life and thinking, it's over as I know it. And just this judgment began to just come out. Just the voice of God brought such deep conviction. It's like you could just feel how God was upset. And then it was like it was over. I blew it. Everything I did, by the way, and he was a pastor for 5 years. So we're not doing God a favor. We're not like, I just want to know. I'm in here because I became a pastor. God says more in his word about shepherds, false shepherds, pastors, than he does about false prophets, by the way, just so you know that. So we need to be, which means we developed our own evaluation form. That's what that means, by the way. It means that we just went our own way and did what was right in our own mind, and we didn't bother to look at what the judge was going to say, what our father was going to say when we come there, and, you know. And if your father gives you some expectations, believe it or not, I don't know, it might not be that way today in a lot of areas, but this is how fathers used to be. You better do it. You better do it. And when his car pulls up in the driveway, or, you know, like Pat, his limousine pulls up and his driver's open his door, you know, when you hear his feet print coming into the footsteps coming into the house, I mean, you're like, boom, yeah. That's just his driver coming around. He's a big guy. Then you're click. That's his tap shoes. He's coming out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, you know we're just joking.
You got a lot of jokes.
You got a lot of jokes. But, you know, do you remember that? I mean, do you remember? It's like, oh, my goodness, we got to. I remember we could clean the house when our parents came home before between the driveway and the front door.
Hey, that thing's spotless.
We could clean, and it was amazing. It was horrifically hard to do when we had this free time, but we cleaned. But we knew what we were supposed to do. And today, it's like, you know, a father would show up and nothing changes and everybody's lounging around. And they had no idea that how important those expectations of their father was to them. And it's like this happening with God now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's an open book test. You can look and see what God expects from you. And you can look at the word that day. And then you can do what it says. You know, love people, help people, encourage people, teach people, disciple believers, tell people about the glory of God, you know, and watch the goodness of God. And then you can be comforted. Well, let me finish the story about Howard Pittman and before we go to break. There's good news about it because he thought it was over. He thought it was over. He could feel the judgment of God and the voice of God. Then all of a sudden, now that, as a good father would, God began, after dealing with his issues and his sin, his pride, then all of a sudden the father's heart, the balance of the kindness and the sternness of God. He first faced the sternness, but just like any father, all of a sudden, even though God was angry at me for what I did with the pride of my life and how I wasted my life and how I thought I was going to tell God what to do, now he's loving on me. And he could just feel the father's love as God was ministering to him. And it just blows your mind when you have balanced father leadership in your life. When you know, it's not over because you get rebuked. You know, it's actually a good thing because you know that somebody's telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. And God was speaking truth to him, because you think about it, if he wouldn't have repented, then he would have went with the 70% that he saw in this vision. You can get his book. Mm-hmm. Approximately 70% that were going to hell. More were going to hell than were going to heaven.
Yes, for sure.
And he would have been that way if he would not have repented at that point. And then he just feels like, my goodness, the same God that was rebuking me, that I thought it was over, now he's loving on me. I can feel this deep, intense, fathering love. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
And it was this encounter with the kindness and the sternness of God, with the father's heart, so changed his life that all of a sudden, they said, now is not your time. The angel escorted him out of heaven. Boom, he came right back into his body. His body came alive again on the operating table, and he hit the road, and he didn't stop until he told everybody he could. He did not stop talking about the kindness and the sternness of God, about the placebo gospel that's being preached to people that says there's no expectations, you're not going to be evaluated, there's not going to be a day of judgment, you're not going to have to answer for what you didn't do or what you did do, and that the kindness and the sternness of God, the father's heart, listen, God loves you, God's got a plan for your life, but like any father, there's something you got to do in relationship. You got to look. It's an open book test. Look at the expectations of God, and his plans are good for you, plans to bless you and to restore the years the locust had devoured. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. We're all going to be evaluated. It's not just your boss or your supervisor, and you're not going to be able to say, hey, I just want you. You're sitting with your boss. And you're a Christian, imagine this, and you're going in to get evaluated for how well you're doing your job. And maybe you're a secretary, maybe you're a manager, maybe you're an officer, maybe you're a politician. And they say, hey, you know, I'm going to evaluate you on your job. And before they start getting to the details, you just go, I'm just going to plead the blood. And they say, okay, cool, okay, cool, got it. I love Jesus too, dude. But listen, it's not your spirit I'm worried about, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
It's your flesh, because your flesh is touching my stuff.
That's right.
That was
so
classic.
I'm going to evaluate. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. Me too, brother. But let me tell you something. We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
That's right.
We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
Well, I thought you was a believer. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book. I'm training you up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show up like Howard Pittman with a list and just say, you know, I just plead the blood.
No, that's right.
And Jesus is going to say, you're going to plead my blood? I got that part. Well, cool. Let's talk about what you did and you didn't do. And how foolish that sounds in the context of saying that to your boss. And although, by the way, I do know some bosses that have evaluated people have heard that. Yeah, I'm just trusting Jesus. It's like, well, I'm trusting to you that you're going to do what I ask you to do too. You know, I'm praying to the same Jesus you're talking about that you're going to hear me and do the job. You know, so I don't have to give you a transition package into the your destiny. Mm-hmm. What else is my destiny? Not here. You know? And so how foolish that sounds before a man or a woman who's evaluating you for the job that you were hired for, when God says he didn't just save you to save you. He saved you for a call, purpose, a destiny. There's expectations from God. I mean, a judgment seat of Christ? Come on. A judge is going to evaluate our lives. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we get in. But if that's the only thing that we profess, then we never were truly a believer. Because a believer who believes the chair will hold them will sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
A believer who believes in the evaluation form, this is how you live your life, they just do it because they believe that. So I want to encourage you, be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer, which would be merely deceived. But if you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.